Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we have opened your scripture because we want you to speak into our hearts. So open our hearts, will you, Lord, and pour your word in us so that we too can hear the encouragement to Zerubbabel and Jeshua. We too can hear the vision that you had for the rebuilding of the temple all the way back 500 years before your coming, so that we too can be encouraged and we too can see a vision for what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so first, let me just give you a little bit of a historical context in which Prophet Haggai is presenting this message to the leadership of the people of Judah. So in the book of Haggai, what is being spoken of is referring to events that date to 520 BC in Jerusalem. So what was going on in Jerusalem in 520 BC? Well, firstly, this was the time where the people had just returned from many years in Babylonian exile. If you remember, Jerusalem, the city that the Israelites thought was impossible to defeat, was defeated in 586 BC by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Then in 539 BC, when Belshazzar was ruling Babylon, you remember this famous story where he sees the writing on the wall, and Daniel was called in to decipher the writing on the wall. That very night, he was defeated, Babylon was defeated, and King Cyrus of Persia takes over the Babylonian Empire. And a fascinating thing happens when Cyrus the Persian takes over the Babylonian Empire, because within a year of him taking over the empire, he does something that's quite unimaginable. He gives the Israelites who were in exile in his kingdom permission to return back to Judah, back to Israel. And not only does he give them the permission to return back, but he also gives them the permission to rebuild the city walls and to rebuild the temple. And not only does he give them permission to rebuild the temple, but he also finances the rebuilding of this temple by giving them the gold and the resources that they needed. So these people, of course, you can see that this is God's hand at work, right? So they actually come back to Israel and they come back to rebuild the temple. But as you know, nothing that is of God will be without opposition, right? And so the neighbors were opposed to them building the temple. There was a lot of opposition mounted. So while they were actually building for a few years, the opposition was too much. The people got distracted, got waylaid. And so for various reasons, and I'm not going to go into all of those reasons, but the temple construction was stopped. This was in year 536 BC. So, now you can imagine, when you are doing something that is difficult, and that activity gets stopped, it kills momentum, right? If you watch football, you know, when one team is making its progress, you know, towards the goal, the other team, if they want to kill momentum, what do? They call a timeout, right?
Yeah.
It's just that. They're not doing anything. Exactly, call a timeout, right? And so the enemy called a timeout on them, right? The problem is that once it is stopped, once a timeout is called, it's really hard to get going again, right? And that's where Prophet Haggai comes into the picture. And God sends Prophet Haggai to speak to the governor of Judah, to speak to the chief priest, Shealtiel, and to speak to the people of Judah. And he gives them this message. And here's the thing that I found interesting. The scripture also dates precisely when this message was given. This message was given on October 17th of that year. That was the very day that I started preparing for this sermon, right? Yeah. Think of the coincidence of that. So on October 17th, he gives this message. And he says, "Does anyone remember this temple in its former splendor?" So he was referring to before the Israelites went into exile, and that would have been exactly 66 years ago. And he would have been referring to the temple, the first temple that was built by Solomon himself. Now, this would have been a grand temple, as you can imagine. But this wasn't a rhetorical question. Because of those people that were gathered there, there would have been some people who actually remembered the temple from 66 years ago. And so he asked the people, "Do you remember what glory this temple had in its former days?" Now, even if everybody did not remember, maybe there were just a few people who actually remembered that temple, but everybody knew about Solomon, right? And everybody knew that Solomon was the wisest and richest person who ever lived. And everybody knew about the first temple that God commissioned him to build. So even if people didn't have the occasion to see that first temple with their own eyes, they knew what Prophet Haggai was talking about. They knew that the temple that they were trying to construct in its former days had an incredible legendary grandeur. Because everything that was used for the temple was the best. It came from all parts of the world. There were just incredible amounts of gold inlaid in the temple. Even the floors had gold in it. So when Prophet Haggai asked the people, "Do you remember this temple in its former splendor?" He's literally taking their minds on a trip to imagine the kind of temple that Solomon would have built. Would be to stretch the imagination of any ordinary human mind. Just imagine Solomon's temple, just imagining Solomon's temple would have given them a high. And then he switches gears dramatically and tells them, if you are now imagining Solomon's temple, and now you look at what you have in front of you, what you have might seem to you like nothing, right? There's nothing remaining. Solomon's temple was burnt to the ground. It was the people, all of the treasures of the temple were carted away. And even though these people have come back and they are trying to rebuild, see, for 2 years, all they managed to do was rebuild the foundation. They tried to build it on the same location. In fact, the altar was on the same location of Solomon's original temple. But there was nothing else. There was the foundation, and there was nothing else. It was just a stubble in the ground. So if you can imagine Solomon's temple being the pride of a nation, you can now imagine that the present-day temple would be the embarrassment of the nation, right? If you imagined Solomon's temple to be a representation of the power of God and the source of power of the whole, for the whole nation, you can imagine that the present-day temple would have been a symbol of how helpless and powerless they were as a people and as a nation. For 10 years, there was no construction. There was nothing happening there. The people had got distracted and busy doing other things in their life. So when you look at a contrast between the old grandeur and what they had in the present, there was to say that what they had in the present was nothing at all was not an exaggeration at all. It was mere pointing out of the facts. But Haggai was not trying to discourage his people, because Haggai had a very powerful message to tell his people. And this was his message to his people. He says that if you think that what you have right now, the present temple, is nothing at all compared to what you had before, know this. God wants you to hear these words. Be strong, my people, be strong, because my spirit is with you. Be strong when you think that the task of rebuilding this temple is a very big task and is too great for your capacity or for your financial resources. If you are intimidated by the fact that you don't have the resources like King Solomon had, don't worry, be strong. Because I, who is the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, I am with you. When you think that you don't have the manpower, the talent, the energy, the motivation that Solomon in all his wisdom was able to muster to build that grand edifice, when you are discouraged, then be strong, my people, because my spirit is with you. The same spirit who was hovering over the waters right there at the dawn of creation in Genesis 1. My spirit is with you. If you think that you lack the ideas and creativity and the clout of a leader like Solomon, then be strong. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Because God has a message for you, my people. God's spirit is with you. And God is about to do something amazing. God is about to shake the heavens and the earth and the ocean even. God is going to shake the nations of its treasures. And you know what God is going to do after that? God is going to bring all those treasures into his temple, so that this temple is going to be grand. And you know how grand? He says it's going to be so grand that the grandeur that this temple is going to have in the future is going to be greater than the grandeur that Solomon's temple had in the past. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those people hearing that? And you know what else God says to these people? He says, I'm going to fill this temple with glory. And you know to what extent? I'm going to fill this temple with the kind of glory that was greater than the glory of the past. Can you just imagine the scenario? Can you imagine how amazing this would have sounded? And you are saying that this temple that we poor exiles, this ragtag bunch who has barely survived all these years in exile, now we are going to build a temple that has greater glory than the temple that King Solomon, who was the wisest and richest man on earth, built? Now that seems unimaginable, right? It seems illogical. It seems unrealistic. It seems delusional. But you know what? This is the word of God, and it is his promise, and it is his prophecy. It may not make sense to you, but God is not a liar. And God is not limited in any way. What God wants to do, he can do. And this is what the incredible God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is saying to the people. Believe it or not, God is saying that the glory that you are going to see in this temple is going to be greater than the glory that resided in the temple that Solomon built. Now, having said that, we have the benefit of hindsight, right? And so we can examine this prophecy and we can ask the question, so how did that prophecy work out? Right? So what happened? Let's look at the facts. Well, I can tell you that Haggai's message certainly did energize the people. It mobilized resources, it mobilized the people, and he managed to get momentum going back again. so that they were able to start rebuilding the work. And within 5 years, he had the temple dedicated in 516 BC. In terms of finances and resources, they got resources from all over. The people themselves gave extremely generously. But besides that, resources came in from Cyrus the Great of Persia, from Darius, the subsequent king, from the king of Susa. These are all people of the surrounding nations and empires that were actually governing the land of Israel at that time. And not only that, the resources came in, the labor came in, the leadership came in, and the work was completed. And this temple that they built was a grand structure. It lasted for about 500 years till the time of King Herod. And King Herod undertakes a massive renovation, which lasts for 46 years. And this temple then, we know historically, lasted till AD 70. Until, of course, the Romans came and then razed that temple to the ground. So the question at the end of this that you may be asking is, did Haggai's prophecy actually come to play in the second temple that was built? Was the glory of the second temple greater than that of the first temple? Well, as a matter of detail, let's just look at some of the details. Now, the new temple, when you compare it with the old temple, it did not have the Ark of the Covenant. It did not have the original stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were given. It did not have the pot of manna that was the manna that the Israelites ate in the wilderness. It did not have Aaron's rod. All of these things were part of the in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. At the same time, it did not have all of the gold and the grandeur that was in Solomon's temple, but it did have the structure and was a pretty grand structure. In terms of how long it lasted, Solomon's temple lasted for 372 years. This temple, the second temple that Zerubbabel built, lasted for 586 years. So approximately 100 years longer than the one that Solomon built. So, well, is that alone enough to say that the second temple had greater glory than the one that Solomon built? Well, to answer that question, I think we have to go to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, in Jesus' life, we find a fascinating story. And the story is this, that when Jesus walks into the temple, now this is the second temple, the temple that Zerubbabel built, but King Herod renovated, right? It's a pretty grand structure, huge stones. And he walks into this temple and he sees a lot of corruption in there. And so he fashions a whip and he drives out the money changers to cleanse the temple of these illegal and immoral activities that were taking place there. The temple authorities were very upset by what he did. And so they come to Jesus and confront Jesus and say, "By what authority are you doing this?" Right? And so Jesus gives them a very cryptic answer. And he says, "You know what authority I'm doing this with? If you were to destroy this whole temple, then I would rebuild it in 3 days." And we know that what Jesus was saying was basically that I am the real temple of God, the place where God's glory in its fullness resides. And fast forward later, we also know that Jesus takes that glory that he resides, and as he's raised in the resurrection, and as he sends his spirit onto his disciples, he uses that to gather his disciples together and build the church in which his glory resides. And as a result, the church that Jesus Christ established is the true temple, right? And we know that that temple has stood for more than 2,000 years. Today, that temple
causes more than 2 billion people to come and worship from all over the world. And we know that that temple will never be destroyed, right?
Right.
So now do you agree that the future glory of that temple was truly greater than the glory of the temple that resided in Solomon's time? Now, not only does that prophecy come true in the temple that Jesus Christ builds, but here is where it gets really interesting. Because that temple doesn't exist in just one location, right? That temple, it started out by the disciples in the Holy Land, but within a matter of years, it spreads all over the world. And this community in Argentina, 2,000 years after that, after what Jesus did, is part of that temple that Jesus Christ established, fulfilling Haggai's prophecy that this temple that we are in will have a greater glory than the temple that Solomon built. So let me just pull it back into our situation here. Bring it back into our time. If we were to think about our community here, I want to ask this question. Where do you think we were 66 years ago as a church? Is there anybody here who remembers this community and God's glory that existed here 66 years ago?
Not quite 66.
Yes.
I can remember when I was a kid.
Yes. And Pastor Mervyn, I think, can remember 66 years ago, right? In 1951, right? I wish I had more time to research this, but I know this. I know this for a fact. That at that time, and Pastor Mervyn, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was when our children's home was going strong, right? We had about 40 children, right? And I've heard people say that those children who were housed there in the children's home that is up the hill, they used to come walking down the road and be part of this congregation. And I know that there were people from all over the country who came here as part of the volunteer service unit, right? To take care of these children. I know, you know, at least two couples who have met in this church like this, right? Young people who have come from all over the country for the ministry that God had in this community, in this place. I'm sure that was a glorious time, right? It was a glorious time for this church. But I want to ask you this. As you hear Haggai's prophecy to the people all those years ago, what do you hear for you today? I think what I hear is that the glory that he has for us as a community is greater than anything that we have experienced in the past. And it may be hard to imagine when we see all of these empty pews. But I can tell you, I mean, you know, Abraham moving here all the way from Florida, you know, I think makes it a little bit easier to imagine, right? What the future might hold, right? And not just Abraham, but Sherry will be moving here too. And they will be, you know, getting married and be part of this community. And who knows who else God might bring into our midst, right? And so God is not limited by our limitations. God is not limited by our resources, by our skills, by our manpower. God's not limited by any of those things. All we have to do is step into God's word, hear his words for us, and just have the power to imagine what God might do in our midst. Because I believe that we are part of that spirit, the same spirit that revived those people, the same spirit that God sent on his disciples on the day of Pentecost, that same spirit that causes each one of us individually to give our life to Christ,
That same Spirit is here in our midst, creating this community, doing what God wants to do. And you know what else? When God does something, it's always glorious. It's always glorious. Right?
Yes.
It's not mediocre. It's not simple. It's not trivial. It's always glorious because it has the fingerprints of God on it. And so my appeal to you this morning is simply this. Examine how Haggai's prophecy is speaking to you personally and to our community. Can you imagine the future glory of this place? This is God's church and this is God's mission. It is not about you and me. It's not about our glory. It is not even about the glory of this church. It is about God's glory. But you know what? Everything that God does is glorious. So be strong, church. Be strong, Abraham.
Yeah.
Be strong, you worship leaders. Be strong, you elders. Be strong, church. And be ready for the ride that God is going to take us on to see His coming glory. Let us pray. Our loving God, I just want to thank you, Lord. You are an awesome God. You are a glorious God. You are a God who has come into our lives. You are a God who has transformed us, and you are a God who is transforming us. You are a God who is doing the impossible and making the impossible possible. You are a God who gives us vision. You are a God who gives us life. You are a God who feeds us with living water and with manna from heaven. You are a God who gives us hope and a future and a dream and a vision. So I pray that you would fill each one of us, O Lord. Fill each one of us with your Spirit. And as we worship you, may your Spirit descend upon us, and may we just lift up a worship that is glorifying to you. May people be who are hungry and thirsty for you, Lord, in this community and even to the ends of the earth, come into this place and worship you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I made it feel the power.
Yes.